You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. You join us for Series A, Episode 21 on what has been a brilliant evening for Irish football. It's starting off with the ladies' fantastic success against France down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And then it continued on with Shamrock Rovers' win, a very dramatic one at that in Europe against the Icelandic champions Rovers into the second round of the Champions League qualifiers. So we are here, myself, Kieran Burke, and my co-host, Gary Riley, to react to that. We'll look ahead to the European games to come later this week involving Derry and Shelburne. We're going to bring you some instant reaction in a second from Tala, from Barry Murphy, who was on comms tonight. And we'll hear later from Rory Higgins and Brian Maher. Got chatting to them today ahead of Derry's game against Brunos on Thursday. We'll look back at the Premier Division action. We're going to talk about the Louth derby and the violence that surrounded that fixture. Drogheda have released a statement just before we started recording the pod, so we'll run through that and break down everything that happened at Oriel on Friday on the pitch, and then on the pitch, the lads that shouldn't have been on the pitch, and then we'll go to the First Division, and then, of course, we've got the FAI Cup coming up this weekend, so we'll play our predictions game as ever, and we'll have the hotline at the end. So a lot to get through on the show, but Gaz, before we go to Barry Murphy, just very quickly from you, I know you were watching that Rovers game, a dramatic finish, but that feels like a huge moment in Shamrock Rovers season.
100%. We didn't think, I think I certainly had them down as bowing out here and was pleasantly surprised, I think, last week. I know there was a lot of talk about their maybe low caliber performance against whatever they're called, Reykjavik. But I thought it was like a very credible performance, as I said. Done exactly what they needed to do, and with the advantage of being away in the first leg.
Maybe lessons learned from last year. I think I heard people saying that during the week that last year they got Breda Blik and there was talk, oh, Icelandic part-time champions, you know, we really should be going over there and rolling them over, and then we know what happened. So it seems like they treated this team with more respect, went and said, let's get a job done in the away leg and then we can finish it at home. And they've done exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it has to be, you know, credit has to be given where it's due. It was a good tactical display, maybe. We're more clued into who they were playing and probably, as you said, give them a bit more respect and played to that. And then followed it up tonight with two really good goals from
Johnny Kenny.
Johnny Kenny. And then ably assisted by my friend Dylan Watts. I know I've been very hard on him down through the years, but look at what he puts in, a strong performance. So I have to give him the right praise, and he was very good. Did he get the two assists? I think he did get the two assists for Johnny Kenny tonight. So, you know, those are the types of things that you need players to be doing in massive games like this, and he stepped up. Of course, my other good friend, Pico Lopez, really did everything he could. He had a decent game, but then I don't know. Did you see the challenge?
I did.
Now, come on. Like, he wasn't within an ass's roar of the ball and cleans out your man on top of it as well.
Yeah. And with VAR, so even if the ref missed it, he was brown bread there.
Oh, he was complete brown bread. And I think I said, like, maybe a couple of months ago, he probably owes the league maybe 10 or 15 red cards. It's shocking the number of times he should have been sent off down through the years, and refs just off, though. I just don't send Pico Lopez off. Obviously it wasn't a red card, but it certainly was a penalty. Probably in the League of Ireland game that wouldn't have been given, but it certainly was a penalty. And I just can't believe, what was it, 97th minute he hits the post. Now, I don't know who that fella thinks he is, but like, if you look at the good replay of just looking at him from behind the goals or just to the side, and he's looking at poles all the time.
He's trying to do Ivan Toney.
An Ivan Toney job in it. But with respect to Leon Poles, it's Leon Poles' goals. It's not, you know, Peter Schmeichel or Buffon that he's trying to give the ice to. It's Leon Poles. Just drive it by him.
In fairness, you know what I mean? To Poles, he had a good game, and even across the two legs. And I want to, we're going to hear from Barry in a second, but he did point out before the penalty was taken, which way this lad goes with his penalties. It's for me, Barry, the research he puts in on CoComs, he's very up there as one of the best in Ireland. And he said that the shooter would go that way with the penalty. And you could see Poles actually points the direction that the penalty goes. And Poles dives the other way. So he's trying to play some mind games, Poles. So Poles obviously had his homework done as well. He went the way that this penalty taker normally goes. Penalty taker's tried to do the double bluff, put it the other way. And as you said, he's clipped the post.
Yeah. Obviously gutting for them, but you know, I don't care about them. No one does. I know a lot of listeners to this won't care about this result, and it'll probably be sour that Shamrock Rovers get through a leg, but this is huge for them. They get to play Sparta Prague. I think that's as quick as next week.
Yeah.
And then they're guaranteed a playoff into the
Conference
League, which is a huge thing. Like, imagine having to go to places we've never even heard of.
This puts a totally different perspective on their season, though. It's massive, that result tonight, and even financially as well. Money in the bank there. That's huge for Shamrock Rovers and Stephen Bradley.
It certainly is, and, you know, I think I might have mentioned it the week before last that I think the top five or four clubs lost over 5 million last year, and that was just kind of like, oh, this is fine. No issue here, which I'd be kind of concerned about, and even ourselves, like, we didn't really talk about it that deeply. Maybe we'll come back to that at a later date in a quiet week of League of Ireland football, if there ever is one. But the financial boost that'll give is absolutely massive. But you know, it's not as if they're stuck for a few pound either. So you know, I'm not going to be on my hands and knees thanking God that UEFA are going to give Shamrock Rovers another lump of money. But look, they're doing it. We're full value for that win. Jack Byrne getting sent off. Ridiculous challenge. Second yellow card. Totally stupid. Don't know what he was thinking. In a nothing position with the team going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, nothing was happening. He didn't need to do any of that. So, look, that these things happen. But look, it's a great opportunity. And who knows, maybe could they get a scalp point? Like, why can't it be Shamrock Rovers putting a team down like this?
Well, we saw them put up a massive performance against AC Milan a few years ago. So maybe we often see with Irish teams, even the international team, they often raise their game against the top-tier teams. So who knows, as you said. Yeah. But it takes huge pressure off Rovers. They've nearly got a free crack at it now because they know they've got that champions path opened up for them now, haven't got through the first round. Look, let's go to Barry. He's standing by in Tala to give us instant reaction. Now, just moments after the full-time whistle has gone in Tala, I'm delighted to say we're joined by former Rovers goalkeeper, current LOI TV commentator Barry Murphy to get instant reaction. Barry, that was some buzz in the last few minutes when that penalty hit the post and the full-time whistle went. What a roar from the crowd in Tala.
Oh, an incredible atmosphere. Sorry if my voice is a little hoarse and screaming at the end there, but yeah, it's incredible. And do you know what? They deserved it over the two legs to go over there and put in a really defensive performance that kind of it needed to be as well. Just from watching the last couple of games, speaking or that's all they really have is an aerial threat. 17 corners last week is an aerial bombardment of their back four all over kind of 6'2". And again, tonight, the last 20 minutes as well. And it just started so well, Shamrock Rovers, and to put themselves into racing to that two-goal lead. And you just felt there was always going to be a chance for him to come back into it. And to, especially when Jack gets sent off as well, it just backs to the wall for the last 10, 15 minutes. But a thoroughly deserved victory, I think, in the end, over the two legs.
Yeah, everyone agreed that this was by far and away Rovers' biggest game of the season so far. And they've delivered the big performance that was required.
Yeah, listen, Shamrock Rovers have been nowhere near it this season, but what they've had, as we said in commentary, is moments throughout this season. A big win in Derry, going over to Iceland and doing the business there and coming back in another big performance tonight. But they've been too few and far between over the season for Shamrock Rovers. But we just asked that they put strung two big performances together in the same week and get through this round. And they've done that, two totally different types of performances, but yeah, got over the line in the end.
Yeah, and they got the dream start, two goals inside the first 20 from Johnny Kenny. And I don't know what the feeling was like among the general Rovers fan base, but I think on this pod, certainly when we seen Kenny re-sign him, we felt a bit underwhelmed because he probably didn't hit the levels last season that we expected him to hit when he came in. But Bradley's put his faith in him and he's been duly rewarded this season, not only tonight, but this season. He's been a consistent goal provider for the Hoops this season. And as I said, Bradley, that faith that was put into Johnny Kenny has been repaid big time now with the prize money those two goals were tonight.
Yeah, massively. And you just see where Shamrock Rovers are in their point in the revolution. You're thinking, are they going to go out and buy a recognised goal scorer? Somebody's going to get you that 20 goal a season and contribute in Europe as well. And when Johnny came in, you're thinking, like, he's got goals for Sligo. He's gone to Celtic and scored in the kind of academy level and things. Was he the big signing they needed to go and do it? And to be fair to Stephen Valley, he's put faith in them and he's been repaid now with 10 or 11 league goals and a couple of big goals now in Europe as well. His confidence will come on so much. And we just spoke about his kind of goal to shot ratio as well and how that needed to get a little closer and the two big misses he had over in Iceland and would that weigh on him in this game. And it just didn't at all. The first chance he got, he buried it. And again, the same with the second. And that's only bode well again for him to the latter stages of these tournaments.
The man we've probably spoken most about this season from a Rovers perspective, the goalkeeper, Leon Poles. He makes a big save on the 86-87th minute where he's looking through bodies, as you said, and he's got down. I think he saved it with his knee. A bit of a Schmeichel, use any part of your body you can to keep it out. But he came out, he claimed a big cross last week in the last few minutes, and he gets the rub of the green with the penalty, obviously clipping the post. But you'd imagine these two legs will have done him the world of good in terms of his confidence.
Huge. I think you could see it last week with that claim in the last minute. Again, we talked about that bombardment of balls into the box and how he's probably letting the defenders deal with it. And you can do that as well, stand on your line and hope the defenders deal with it. But tonight, he was on his front foot. And that's what you want to see from a goalkeeper. When you're on your front foot and positive, things tend to fall for you. And again, that was a huge save on 84, 85 minutes. And again, just a couple of punches come out and command that area. And it gives you a chance to move that kind of back four line up towards the 18-yard line, gives him a chance to come in and claim it as well. And when you've got Pico Lopez, Cleary, Sean Moore, Lee Grace coming on, who can win headers as well, it kind of nullifies that effect and takes a lot of the guns away from their arsenal when you can nullify that kind of attack.
And they've kind of got a free crack now in the next round, haven't they? They're going to be taking on Prague. They're going to be the massive underdogs. But tonight's result, as we know, it's opened up that parachute for them now where they're guaranteed at worst a playoff for the conference. So tonight was huge, but they can actually go into the next game and looking forward to it with not a huge amount of pressure on.
Yeah, these are the ties they want. Like it does. It in some ways, there is a little bit of pressure off. They had that, not to be crass about it, but money in the bank, and it's massive for clubs in Ireland trying to progress and to trying to keep moving in the evolution of this team moving forward. And this it is a free crack at them, but I think that they'll fancy their chances as well against them. You go over there and you do a job as well. And I'm not sure what way the ties lie if they go away first and come back, but. Then you're into the third qualifying round of the Europa League, and if you do drop out of that again, you're into the qualifying, the playoff round of the Conference League. So this, as you said, there's levels coming down on this ladder, and there's a couple of parachutes along the way to help you out.
Yeah, I know it's a Tuesday night, but I'm sure there's plenty of Rovers fans probably filling into the Maldron across the road for a few pints. But already attention probably starting to turn to Friday now. Bose were probably disappointed it wasn't brought to extra time, but the two legs, do you think that's taken a lot out of the legs of Rovers now? Will Bose fancy their chances Friday?
Yeah, it's massive. I think even looking at Slira Leggy last 10 minutes, I think it's just such a good effort over there on an Astro pitch, a decent big Astro pitch as well. And again, when you go down to 10 men against Noyce, you just have to fill those gaps, and that takes energy and manpower. And they emptied the bench a little tonight as well. So you'll probably see the likes of Jack Byrne maybe now playing on Friday, where he mightn't have been playing otherwise. But again, it's a big game. It's your local rivals as well. You don't want to let them get one over on you, no matter how well you're doing in another competition. They want to go on offense, and Shamrock Rovers in the cup have been nowhere near it over the last couple of seasons. And for a club who've won whatever it is 25, 26 trophies in the cup, they're going to want to make a decent run of it again this year.
Yeah, but look, Barry, we'll let you go and enjoy the celebrations. Thanks for catching up with us.
No problem at all. Take care.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, fair play to Baz Murphy for joining us there. A very happy man, as you can hear. And well done to Shamrock Rovers. A huge result for them. A great result for Irish football. Right, we'll talk about something that wasn't as good for Irish football last Thursday night, Gary. That was Derry City's defeat out in Gibraltar against Bruno's Magpies. They were turned over by 2-0 in the heat of Gibraltar. We all knew that the heat was going to be a factor out there. We had Louis Andley on the show last week. He warned us of the threats that Bruno's and St. Joseph's that were playing Shells would carry. The Gibraltar football very much is on the rise. And we saw that on Thursday with two big performances from the two sides. I know Shells got the win, but that tie's far from over. But just focusing on Derry for the moment, even with the heat factor taken into consideration, even with the pitch taken into consideration, that is just not an acceptable result for Derry City against a team from Gibraltar.
No, it's not. And like, they did create chances, Derry. I know there'll be a lot of, you know, playing through the thirds palaver and all of that stuff that was, look, I know it's nearly, well, it's 5 or 6 days ago now, but I think it's, I just don't want to hear these types of excuses much anymore against a team. And actually, just even before I say it, there's some teams that you just should be beating. And as we know, that like, we're not talking too much about, like, we don't watch very much Gibraltar in football, so we don't know a whole pile about them. But there comes a time where you just have to go, we just need to do what is required here. And a nil-all draw away in those conditions and the pitch, you could nearly go, right, that's not ideal, but a 2-0 loss is deplorable. And Derry haven't been going exactly great in the last few weeks, and this is a real... This is a lower low even than some of the league results that they've had of late.
Yeah, well, I think just in terms of Europe, a lot of people were kind of going through the real shockers from years gone by. Immediately, the one that comes to mind, Bo's TNS. I think the other next worst one after that probably involved ourselves, Longford and Carmarthen that time. They're right up there as two of the worst ever League of Ireland results in Europe. But this might just top them.
Well, look, it's not said and done yet. You know, you can have you can fill the togs in the first leg if you cure it in the following leg. They have a second chance now. But I've been very concerned and calling out like some of the rubbish defending that Derry have been at this year. And this is another really good example of it. A corner straight in. And I think was the other one from a set piece of some description as
Two set pieces.
Two set pieces.
Yeah.
Now, that's intolerable now, and I've been highlighting the boys at the back. Connolly, I don't think... is it fair to say that he's not up to it?
I don't know what I say he's not up to it. A couple of seasons ago, we would have all agreed he's the best centre-half or one of the best centre-halves in the league. I think that injury he suffered, he hasn't looked the same player this season for me.
And what about the other boy, or McElhenney?
Again, McElhenney, when he was signed, we all raised our eyebrows and said, that's a strange one, you know, he's been at Harps or whatever and going up to Derry now. But he was brilliant in his first season. But looking at maybe some of those players and going out into the conditions, maybe it just wasn't the sort of game for players like that. I can certainly see where you're coming from. But I don't want to fall into knee-jerk reactions either where I say, this lad's not good enough, this lad's not good enough, because these players have shown they're good enough. But...
yeah, but maybe. When? Like, I know Derry haven't conceded a whole bag of goals this season. That'd be...
No, but you're right. They've conceded some real shockers in games at crucial moments.
Yeah, exactly. And I keep going on about Connolly on the floor, watching the striker run off towards goal and slot it by Maher. Like, this is happening, I think, too often. And I don't see enough of change or... Like, have Derry been linked with any centre-backs? They probably signed one last week, and I don't know. But I'm just very concerned that there doesn't seem to be, like, let's say, right, got rid of McGonagall, got Hooban. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was a very good switcheroo. I'm just not seeing the same at the back, and there seems to be, almost an over-reliance on Maher to dig them out of stuff. And like, he did have to make a few saves. And I know on the other hand, then I think Daniel Kelly had one cleared off the line at one point.
He did, yeah.
Though there was chances created by Derry, but at the end of the day, it's a 2-0 away loss. And like, the fans were...
Oh, yeah. Understandably.
Understandably. And I think about like...
Do you know what...
Just before that... We've often criticised managers, oh, they're great boys, oh, give it 110%, wonderful, oh, I love them, and all of this stuff. Is there a tie? Should there be a bit more hammerings that been dished out here?
We will come back to this point in one very good minute. I'll tell you what we'll do, because it links in, right? Today, I got to speak to Rory Higgins and Brian Maher ahead of that game on Thursday. And I did ask Rory, if they can't turn this around in the second leg, if heading out of Europe, the first hurdle against the Gibraltar team, if that has the potential to derail their entire season. So let's hear what Rory had to say. And we'll hear from Brian Maher. I started off by speaking to him about the potential for this one to maybe go to penalties. We know they didn't have much luck in shootouts last season. So let's hear from the two lads, and then I'll come back to your point, Gary.
You can study all the penalties in the world, and you can watch every penalty taker you take, and you can decide 3 seconds before you kick it that you're going to go the other way. So you need that little bit of luck that I think we didn't have last year. I think when we actually went back and watched other goalkeepers in penalty shootouts, you could see the way they went, and they kind of just went with pot luck instead of actually studying our takers, and it worked. So it's a difficult one. As you said, there's been three this year, so it's probably I've flipped a coin a bit and shown that I actually can't save them. But as you said, it was a difficult week last year. It took a bit of time to get over, but it's something that you come out the other side of, and you know, you feel stronger from it, as tough as it was. And if it happens again this week, it's just going to have to be, you know, we'll do the same work we always do and hope that it pays off.
Do you feel it is pot luck when it comes down to a shootout, or is there skill and technique involved?
Of course there's skill and technique, but I think you absolutely do need a bit of luck as well, both as a goalkeeper and a taker. You know, I think it's a bit of everything combined, and we've got good penalty takers at the club, as we've shown, and we just were unlucky, and at the same time with myself, I felt, you know, that the work we'd put in was second to none, and it just didn't pay off for us.
I know there was obviously a lot of talk about the heat and the pitch as well was highlighted quite a bit on commentary the other night in Gibraltar. Do you feel returning to the Brandywell now on Thursday that you'll have an opportunity to show the real Derry City?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've done it many times this year at home as well. I think it used to be spoken about of how we hadn't played well at home, but as you said, we're scoring goals this year and we're winning games at home, so we just need to try and keep going, keep doing it, and as I said, just try and score first, or at least, you know, as I said earlier, if we win the game, you're guaranteed to be at least halfway back. So we just need to make sure that we're fully committed and fully at it, because we let ourselves down. As much as we let other people down, we let ourselves down last week, and we didn't play half as well as we can. So you can flip that on its head and you know, use it to motivate us as well.
Thanks, Brian. Just a quick one for Rory. Rory, obviously you're in a good position in the league. You've got the cup game coming up soon as well. Obviously you've had a good record in the cup since you've been Derry manager, but is there a fear that if things don't go well on Thursday, that a European result like this could derail your domestic hopes for the rest of the season?
No, not at all, Kieran. Not at all. I think, obviously, before the Sligo, only not that long ago, we were in really, really good form. For an hour against Sligo, we were very good. A couple of terrible goals, and then we all know we let ourselves down last week, but we've too much experience with too many good people in our dressing room for a defeat in Europe to derail the season. I know the characters of the group. You probably don't, but it definitely won't derail our season.
Yeah, so there you go, Gary. You heard it from Rory Higgins. He doesn't believe that even if worse comes to worse on Thursday and they go out against Bruno's, that it won't derail their season because of the characters that he has in the dressing room. You were about to kind of launch into something there before I stopped you, so go ahead.
I just don't know. It just seems to be like, like, when is it, like, what's a real terrible, unacceptable performance here? And I know I'm waxing lyrical about the first leg. It's very possible that that Derry will take it back to the Brandywell and fill these boys in.
Yeah.
I have, and actually I would still have every confidence that they'd do that. But
yeah, there's something like, I was surprised when I seen it today, but I think they're 1-5 with the bookmakers to win on Thursday night.
The tie or just the game?
Win the game.
Yeah, well, I can see them doing damage to these fellas. I can see a proper reaction here. But at the same time, I'm also concerned that, like, I'm probably not seeing enough of that from the manager, if you know what I mean. Like, on one hand, you want the...
Well, look, we only got a small snippet there of the press conference today, but he did admit that they let themselves down on Thursday. So you'd like to think there was probably a few home truths spoken in that dressing room on Thursday last week.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I just don't... I'm not sure that I get that feeling. You know, and look, I'm definitely... You know, have some built-in trauma from Derry City over the last couple of years. You know, I really had them pegged to... I know they're still well within a title challenge at the moment, but I just thought I kind of expected more from them. I was kind of looking for that and hoping for that, just to really mix it up a bit more. But look, they've got plenty to play for, a great opportunity to put this behind them, and maybe write a few, because the last few games, obviously, they haven't been fantastic either. So this will be a good opportunity to write all of that and kind of straighten their ship for the rest of the season.
The reason I asked Rory about, you know, the kind of, I didn't want to be negative, and I hope as much as you do that they do, as you said, thump these boys on Thursday and go through to the next round. But
yeah,
we saw the reaction of the fans in Gibraltar, which was very understandable. I know the game was been shown in a cinema in Derry, and that was packed out and everyone was watching. And there was just huge deflatement and disappointment and a bit of anger after the game on Thursday. And you went online, and we always say online, not the best place to kind of gauge fan reaction and all the rest. But there was, you know, serious, serious anger and disappointment within the Derry fans after Thursday's performance. So if they can't turn it around on Thursday, like, for me, the feeling within the fan base, that could linger for a while. And it could just be a bit of a rut that is difficult to get out of. Next thing you go out with a cup on Sunday or whatever day they're playing against Pats, and all of a sudden you really are stuck in a bit of a rut. And that, for me, is the concern if they can't turn things around on Thursday. But as you said, they've got every chance that they do turn this tie around.
No, I have complete faith in them to do so, and I'm hoping they do. The more teams that we can get into Europe and go a bit more of a distance, and it also would right us as well, because we've been yammering on for the last good while about how we believe the quality has been lowered, quality of football has been lowered in the league over the last while, and we're probably not as excited about it. Probably on one hand, and I know we haven't mentioned the Euros finishing up there on Sunday. I was actually in London for it.
God love you.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't put my nose outside the door. Don't worry about that.
Until full time.
until the next bloody day. But, you know, there was a lot of bad games.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely the style of play. And I suppose when you look at maybe the limitations of, you know, to give it a more, what's the phrase? There's layers to it. Type of answer. Do you think maybe on one hand, I know we've just got Shamrock Rovers through, nothing else has been done yet, and Pats have to play on Thursday as well. Maybe this is a conversation for next week, really, but maybe we might have shot from the hip a bit early there.
We'll wait and see. Just on Shells, 2-1 win against St. Joseph, off to a flyer 20 seconds in to get the goal from Coyle.
Yeah,
and then they go to Joseph's. I was watching this game. Watched so much football over the last few days. I can't remember the timeline exactly, but St. Joseph's did get a goal back 2-1. They've got to go to Gibraltar next. We saw the issues that Derry ran into. So this tie is far from over.
No, the tie is far from over. I think there needs to be certainly a bit of an understanding as to how, you know, the conditions... has this been played in the same place as Magpies game with Derry last week?
I'm not actually sure on that.
I don't know why I thought of that. I thought some people, like, advise Derry fans advising Shells fans. Bit of cross-club community support there.
St. Joseph the equaliser. It was a set piece. So I'm just so much football consumed over the last few days. Jarvis penalty then.
Yeah. But look, I think there needs to be a bit more respect, a bit of
I think Shells fans made a very good point. That Derry defeat was probably the best thing that could have ever happened from Shells' perspective on Thursday. That was like, right, we need to just cop on here a bit. This is serious stuff.
This will boost our season. Like, you know, I would say if they got through this and they got through the next round, I don't know who are they playing next. Oh, it's someone good, isn't
it? They have a tough one next, yes. We'll worry about that when it comes around.
Yeah. if they were to get through, I think it isn't an ideal opponent for the next one. But you know, it'd be great just to get a few clubs. Like I know there's a lot of talk in the league about like, no, I hope they all, you know, get the shite kicked out of them. But like I remember, like back in the day, watching really, really, really dodgy streams. This is before like any type of, you know, VIP sports or what? I can't think of the other one. VIP box or some of them, and you're there watching. Where am I getting a stream? Back in 2015 and stuff like that, and your open teams do well. Mm. So stuff like that. Like I think, as I said last year, we're not in a position where we're getting teams regularly into group stages of European competition where we can go, actually, no, I'd be delighted if Shamrock Rovers got knocked out in the qualifiers. I don't think we're there yet, and I think, you know, this only boosts the league as a whole. Wasn't it great a couple of years ago? I know there were dirt in the Conference League, but every Thursday they were on the telly.
Yeah.
It was nice. I don't know, maybe I'm just being a bit too positive. But anyway, Shelburne need to do the job, be professional, go and get it done, and learn from the difficulties that Derry had out there last week. And then we have, what do we have? Pats and Vaduz.
Yeah, that's not this Thursday, is it?
Is it not?
No, because they're in the second round, aren't they? So.
Oh, be Jesus. Oh, sorry, no. One of the lads was in London as a Pats fan, and he was talking about getting his ticket, so I must have missed.
Yeah, no, that one's next Thursday.
He talks an awful lot of shite, this fella, so I can only ingest about 20% of what he says, so... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, that'll be an interesting tie as well. So we'll talk about that one next week. Mm. But that's a bit of a recap on Europe and what's coming up this week. We'll move into the League of Ireland Premier Division review now, Gary, and only one place to start, Oriel Park, Dundalk 4, Drogheda 2. We'll start with the football first, as ever. That's the most important thing. But I was very impressed with Dundalk, how they started the game. They didn't allow Drogheda to breathe for 2 seconds on the ball. It wasn't like Dundalk of old, we'll say Kenny's Dundalk, where they went out and they dominated the ball and they were putting Drogheda under pressure through that. They did dominate the ball, but what they were doing, they were just getting the ball into the final third. Any opportunity, turn the defence, get into them, tackles. It was just real all energy, high octane football, and Drogheda couldn't breathe. And they caved early, conceded the goal, and they were 2-0 up Dundalk. They were absolutely cruising. Drogheda get a goal back just before halftime. They're back in the game, and then they concede early in the second half. And from there, it was a procession. They get a late penalty, Drogheda, to put a bit of shine on the scoreboard. But I was really impressed with how Dundalk went about the game, I have to say.
Yeah, and that's something that we've seen since John Daly has come in. Mm. There's been like a real, and even more so, John Daly coming in. Unfortunately, Stephen O'Donnell leaving.
Yeah.
There was a serious change as to how they were, as you said, turning the ball over. Let's go now, immediately. Ram it up the pitch. You know, endless type of running. Plenty of players running forward, supporting the attack, rather than like this lethargic, right, we need to. Andy Boyle needs 40 passes before we can cross the halfway line.
Yeah,
this type of bullshit.
It's no surprise as a result that more direct style of play, it's bringing better performances out of key players out wide, like Ryan O'Kane. He was fantastic on Thursday. Drogheda couldn't deal with him. And Daryl Horgan was, look, he's never going to, everyone's saying, is he going to get back to his best? He's never going to get back to 2016 levels. No. But he was something similar to it on Friday. And if they can get performances like that out of on a regular basis from Daryl Horgan, then they're going to get good results. The two lads were fantastic on on Friday night. So it's no surprise that change in philosophy, it's bringing more out of those players that want to get the ball and get at people.
Yeah, but also in a way, because like, look, they're not the players that we'll say Dundalk once had. So it's, if you have less time on the ball, you have less like, what am I going to do with this? So I just need to play it off quicker. Mm. And I need to, you know, there's a decent pass on. Maybe I'll try this and I won't get in, you know, the head kicked to me for making this wrong pass when it was the right decision, but I didn't manage to pull it off. There seems to be a bit more try stuff. If it comes off, great, and if it doesn't, that's not so bad. There seems to be a bit more clever risk taking, would you say, and maybe a bit more better decision making from Dundalk at the moment, which is obviously like there was a lot of talk about, like, you know, two loud derbies in the space of a week, and everybody would rather win this one.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's league points that's required for both teams. But like, on the other hand, from a Drogheda perspective, is this a fatal result, do you think?
We'll move on to Drogheda, come back to Dundalk in a second. The one big positive for me from a Drogheda point of view was Douglas James Taylor, the man that got the two goals. We talked about the penalty he got against Shells the week before. He looks a proper good player. He is a real handful. So they've signed a good player there. Perros, we expect to come off the bench when required later on. Now, the worrying thing from a Drogheda point of view at the end, when they get the penalty, they're 4-1 down. They've been embarrassed in a derby, biggest game of the season. They get a penalty. And next thing, Perros wants to take it. He's the ball under the arm. Taylor comes over. He wants to take it. And the two lads start arguing over the penalty. And I was like, oh, this is not the time or the place for this. Perros was put away to one side. He was not happy. even when the game was over, I seen Kevin Doherty go having a word with him, a couple of teammates, just trying to, you know, appease him, whatever. I was like, this is not the time or the place for that. So that was a bit worrying. Hopefully that's something that won't linger. But yeah, Taylor looks a proper signing. Farrell, we all think, will be a good signing. He didn't have a good game on Friday. But I think Taylor will give them a chance. We'll be coming to Bowes later, but Bowes are really struggling to get any sort of form going despite these new signings they're making. So I wouldn't just rule Drogheda out yet. What I did notice as well, towards the end of the game, it looked like Kevin Doherty was getting a good bit of stick from certain sections of the fan base. And we didn't talk about it a couple of weeks ago. I think the owners released a statement where they were kind of talking about how things have gone so far. And they did make point to the fact that they're disappointed with on-field performances so far. I think no matter what happens, even if Drogheda go down, I think they need to keep the management team they have. I don't think they're going to get better in their current situation.
No, I don't. And I think that statement did mention, like, you know, a bit more investment coming into the club, but like, that's going to be hard done. And like, this is kind of like a pulling out of fire situation rather than you know, progressing on. So look, I think they, you know, they need to, it'd be great if they could get something done quick. But I think James Taylor, as you said, looks to be a player. There's no question about that. But I don't really know, will it be enough? I think, deep down, I think we believe Bowes will be able to get out of this over the rest of the season. Would you not agree?
I think, yeah, Drogheda are obviously hot favourites now to go down, but I just don't think it's over yet. We're talking about new players that made an impact just from a Dundalk point of view. There's obviously a lot of new faces on show, but Hakiki, Shells fans were saying it online when it was announced that he was signing for Dundalk. They were disgusted that it wasn't a loan deal because they really, really rate this young fella and he looks an absolute player. Dundalk look like they've signed a proper gem there.
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't just...
Hakiki, I was saying.
Oh, sorry.
Shells fans are raging that it was a permanent deal and not a loan deal. They wanted to see him come back to Talca, but it looks like they've let a proper player go there.
Yeah, like I think though, like Duffer has kind of like, he's brought in some players. In who did he sign there the other day?
Wood is back, obviously.
That's right. Thank you. So like, there are.
He's brought in players, yeah. Like, there's probably not many opportunities from there. So
that's the problem.
He's probably put the player first instead of, you know, stockpiling them.
For absolutely no reason, and like just have him knocking around and won't be able to make an impact or won't be able to, you know, push on for him. So I think that was the right thing to do, and hopefully it's a good move for him.
Shells are in the position now where, you know, they're challenging for league titles, they're playing in Europe. If he does do well, they can always sign him back.
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't take that much convincing.
No. Will we talk about off the pitch?
Ah, sure, look, yeah. Well,
said at the top of the show, off the pitch that became on the pitch.
Off the pitch that became on the pitch, yeah. Oh, look, what a right old wordsmith you are. But
Not
ideal, was it?
No, sure, look, I was there, so I'll give you my thoughts in a second, but I just want to read out the statement that was released by Drogheda just before we got the show underway. Drogheda United statement, here we go. So, in light of altercations between Dundalk and Drogheda fans post-match in Oriel Park on Friday, Drogheda United chairperson Joanna Byrne tonight confirms that she has met with those identified as being involved and issued multiple sanctions. Speaking after the meeting, she said, "Firstly, all involved with Drogheda United apologise to everyone in attendance at Friday's match for witnessing and having to endure the unsavoury behaviour at the end. I accept there were multiple fans of ours involved, and having successfully identified them through the outpouring of footage sent to us from fans, TV crews and sports journalists, I have tonight met with those involved and issued varying degrees of sanctions, ranging from 3 indefinite long-term bans to several rest of season and multiple match bans. As a club, we are strong in our condemnation of this violent behaviour and resolute in our stance. There is no place for this at Drogheda United Football Club. Last night, we had a successful meeting with the Dundalk FC, the FAI and Ongarda Síochána, and we are united in eradicating this behaviour from our clubs and committed to ensuring there is no repeat of these events. The vast majority of the fan base in both clubs is exceptional and has unfortunately been let down by a small minority. We have a great relationship with Dundalk FC and both clubs are focused on building on the great momentum around the league and our clubs at present, and always striving to improve the family-friendly atmosphere for all to enjoy. I want to reassure both sets of fans attending our fixture on Friday night that together with our friends in Dundalk FC, we have increased operations in place, supported by our security team and the Ongarda Síochána, and we're confident that we can bring back the safe, enjoyable atmosphere for all and return to the focus back onto the football. Loud derbies are historically great events, the pivotal fixtures for both clubs, and we just need to bring back the passion and enjoyment this Friday and move forward together. Gary, give me your thoughts on that statement.
Will you go first, will you, please?
I think the general feeling online in the short hour or two that this has been out there is it's not strong enough.
It's not great, is it? Because that was deplorable on the pitch.
Deplorable. That was me and you were going to League of Ireland games well over 20 years now. That's the worst violence I've seen.
Probably. Well, we'll say within the confines of a football pitch, probably is.
Yeah.
Like there's always the bullshit about stuff outside, you know, cup finals and stuff like that down in the last few years, but that's separate. Like these are all people that bought tickets, went in as fans. It is disgraceful stuff. I know there was like, oh, this fella came onto the pitch and he had a flag and all this other nonsense. That's just excusing or trying to excuse people, like adults mostly, being savages. Do you know what I mean? Like that, it's not excusable for some lad to wave a flag in your face. All right, that entitles me to jump onto the pitch and go around, start throwing digs around the place and all that assorted behaviour that went on. I don't know if has there been, I think you said, did you tweet or something like that, that the DCU has to, they've dish out their own sanction.
Yeah, they're going to meet tomorrow.
Like on one hand, I would say this was just like a preemptive strike to probably minimise the DCU sanction.
And she's already confirmed, Joanna Byrne, that the club will not appeal whatever punishment comes their way.
Yeah, that's also done just to minimise the sanction. There should be a significant ban here, and unfortunately, we should be talking about
a significant ban for.
We'll draw it a home game.
You feel there should be a game behind closed doors?
I wouldn't say a full game behind closed doors. I'd say. I don't know how I don't know how they do this, but that's like, this is all their own doing. Now, I'm not saying the club, do you know what I mean? But like, this is what has to happen. This idea of
they've already had an away ban this season as well, so there's a strike
this
there
is,
against
this
the
is round
name,
two. Yeah, exactly. And there has to be some type of club-wide reaction. It's not all the fans. It's a small minority. Jesus, I've been saying small minority in my sleep for the rest of my days. When I keep hearing, it's only this group of people. And I know it is only this group of people. But there has to be a serious reaction now. That, to be fair to the FAI, I think on one hand, they have allowed this escalation where away bans are going on and stuff like that. But now it's time to go to the next level. I'm sure
it's interesting. There's been no FAI statement since this, so does that suggest something big is maybe coming? That the statement will be a statement?
Well, they're too busy dishing out other statements about other stuff, such as international manager that they wanted the whole time, right?
Can't believe we haven't covered that yet. I don't know.
We'll be getting to that as well. You didn't say that in the intro, and I thought you were having a proper mare. Jesus, we were up at 4 o'clock in the morning recording this bloody thing. But there has to be a strong reaction here from the FAI. And this, I think, on one hand, it's clever from, let's say, Drogheda to we've banned these people already. We've already said we're not going to appeal it, which I think is stupid in a way, because on the off chance that the DCU go crazy and ban them for five games behind closed doors, well, then there's a serious problem. They'll have to wind back on that. But what do people expect? There's a lot of people, a lot of Drogheda fans, and obviously we're just naming out Drogheda now at the moment. But if I was in their family, I was right, yeah, fine. We have a load of idiots in our club as fans, and this is, me not being able to go to a game is a disgrace, but this is what has to happen. But do you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
What do you think should be the outcome of the sanction?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a serious punishment for this one, because this has been, this is an escalation on what we've seen before. We've seen a lot of stuff kind of going on, as you said, where people are throwing stuff onto pitches and stuff going on outside grounds. But for a large body of people to enter a field of play and for those scenes to unfold in front of families and all the rest, it's not good. So there needs to be serious repercussions for this one. I do feel that statement's a little bit lighter than I would have expected. Would have probably expected indefinite bans to be handed out. I know there's mention of three indefinite bans. And then there's talk of spans
multiple
until the
games
end of the season. Look, I suppose maybe they're looking at people that they come on the pitch and then fill the togs and run off the pitch or whatever. They've been less punished than people that were out swinging punches. I don't know what way it's gone, but I think probably everyone expected maybe a stronger tone to that statement tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the makeup is going to be like, in the next few weeks, regarding the relationship between the club and the fan base. But the fan base has put the club in an awful position as well.
I do think this is a chance.
Fan base. I mean, the people that went on the pitch.
Yeah. I think this is the two clubs need to come together. I know they're rivals and all the rest, but I went up to Oriel Friday kind of knowing something was going to happen, because the last few loud derbies, there's been small escalations all the time, from one set of ultras breaking into the stadium and stealing flags off the other ultras. And there's been escalations for a long time now. And we've seen loud derbies have to kick off earlier of a bank holiday because of fears of something like this happening. There was rumours that maybe Friday's game might be moved to the weekend, but it's going to be Friday night now with an increased presence. But I have to say, I thought the setup of security in Oriel on Friday was very, very poor. I know the last time there was kind of a semi-serious incident with these two teams in Weavers Park, there was a suggestion that there was a total lack of security and fans got onto the pitch. Now, it wasn't as serious as what we saw Friday, but I think since then, Drogheda addressed that and they've beefed up security at the Derby games. I think Dundalk need to have a serious, serious look at their security setup. There was nowhere near enough stewards. I spoke to one or two Gardaí outside after, and they made the comment that it wasn't their job to stop the riot. I thought that was a bit disappointing to hear that, because as we know, when these fixtures come around, I'm sure the Gardaí make certain demands that there's X, Y, and Z in place, or they don't get the security certificate or whatever it may be. So I think I'd be, if I was involved in Dundalk, I'd be asking for a meeting with the local super to try and improve that relationship there. I know Joanna Byrne made reference to that in her interview on LMFN today, that she felt that maybe there's a lack of a collaborative approach there between Dundalk and the local guards. So that's something that needs to be addressed, because I think...
Well, she has a significant interest in that. It's not... Like, are you saying she suggested that this is between Dundalk and the guards?
Well, she suggested that, you know, that maybe there's a lack of cooperation there between Dundalk and the local Gardaí in Dundalk.
All right, and...
I think the security really needs to be looked at. It does need to be looked at.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. It was, you know, a lot of games when there's a big travelling away crowd, you see a line of stewards in front of the away end. And then if there's a home section that can be quite boisterous, there's a few stewards in front of them. There wasn't enough of that on Friday. People poured out onto the pitch. And by that stage, it was too late. You were playing catch up. So it needs to be a serious... Dundalk need to have a serious look at their match day operations. Drogheda need to deal with those people that came onto the pitch. And this needs to be a reset for both clubs. There was a couple of lads there in the Dundalk end that I'm sure were only too delighted to get on as well. So yes, the Drogheda were the starting point for this trouble by entering the pitch, but there was one or two individuals there as well that were only too chomping at the bit to get on. So both clubs need to have a look. This is a good opportunity, I think, for them to reset, weed out a few bad actors and let this de-escalate, because this has gone too far now.
Buddy, agree. Can't really this. Sure, what else is there to say about that? Yep. Other than what you've just said, like, it's fairly simple.
That's it. Bowes nil, Sligo Rovers 2. Sligo Rovers went down to 10 men very early on, but they come away with a 2-0 win and a hilarious winner as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Very funny.
Yeah, it was probably one of the worst free kicks I've seen now, and probably, you know, and I'm including underage football here now. And I think from speaking to a Bulls fan, I think McDade went over to take that free kick, took it off someone else. So, yeah, what more can you say? I think that's a very good summation of Bulls' season this year. Apart from re-signing any player that kicked the ball for them in the last 20 years, they're signing any lad going that used to play for them.
I'm glad you all like their tweet, folks.
Yeah, well, that's my tweet, really. You have control of the account, but I told you what to say. but yeah, it was sad, wasn't it? Nearly just watching that ball, like, you know, I know a lot of
you know that saying the people have about Tottenham, Spursy, whenever they blow something, like there's definitely a Bowsy element to Bowes, isn't there?
There really is. Yeah. It's like this. I don't know if it's like an inertia or something like that. To just want to, you know, where do Bulls? I think that they're going to be in the next few years. I know it is only one result, but like, you know,
well, it's not one result now. They're on a rotten run of form.
Yeah, I know they're on a rotten run of form, but like, you know, getting the gang back together every 6 months, you know, that can't be. That can't be it. That can't be the highlight all the time. We got Devoy back. We got Tierney back. We got Buckley back. We got Cornwall back. Kirk back. There's probably a few players that I can't even remember that they're getting back. Like, it's not great. And actually, do you know what? Just as I go in, they must have, how many players did they have in their squad? They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think they have 11 midfielders, do they? And like, not so the boys aren't bad. James Akintunde, James Clark, Jordan Flores, McDade, Adam McDonald, Brian and James McManus, Mikkelsen, who hasn't played much. Well, he's only new. Some chap from Mark Miller from Estonia, Dale Rooney and Ross Tierney. Sure, it's boys that they need to be getting rid of boys at this point now. But like, they bring two buses to every game. you know, it kind of really goes. I think even like just looking at their squad list kind of shows the kind of disarray and the fact that they just don't have real much solid direction or identity as to where they're going on a football pitch.
Yeah, that's how I'd sum up Bulls right now. There really is a lack of identity. Off the pitch, they don't have their identity, but on the pitch, that team has no soul about it.
No, they're really, really not. Like, and it's very... Oh, it's tiring. Like it must be really... it must be really tiring for Bulls fans that, like, want to see their club doing well and, you know, going on about, like, we had that great run in Europe and we got to the final, but we lost, but we got to the final and it was great. And what it's just like, what's the next step? By bringing all these players, get rid of them again, bringing a lot of lads from Estonia, right? That didn't work, right? All right, we had this lad before, he might be available, we might get him back, get the gang back together, and the fans will be quiet for another little while. It just seems to be like an endless carousel of shite. And, I think they're looking at trying to get in Aidan Keane.
I think Sligo are in from two, aren't they? We'll actually talk about Sligo because they've had three great results.
They really have.
Wins on the spin. They've made some good signings. They've made another one today that looks a bit interesting. 20-year-old Luke Pearce, after joining on loan from Cardiff, I see he got 7 goals and 11 appearances in Premier League 2 for Southampton last season, and he has played a bit of first team football in the lower leagues in England as well. So I think that's always good when they have a bit of first team experience under the belt. But if they could get Keane back as well, it'd be a really good window for Sligo.
It'd be an absolutely massive window, and it was probably the window that we kind of were hoping, or that they might have been looking to have in the off season. I know they lost a couple of players, Hartman, for example, but if they're able to get Keane back for the rest of the season, like, looking at the table now, if for any listener that wants to look at the table, they're 3 points behind Waterford in third. And when we come on to Waterford, we'll be, oh, what a great season they're having after blah, blah, blah. But it hasn't actually been that bad of a season. And I know with the way how tight the whole division is, like, a few wins cobbled together in a row really rams you up the table, and that's what has occurred here. But it's really turning into quite a successful season based on what we thought that we were going to get out of Sligo. Now, they've turned in some awful dog shit performances, make no mistake. But this would be a super window. And they have in the league, I think they have Galway next, and they won't be really fearing them. By the time that game will be coming around, it'll only be the cup in between that. So,
they're playing Everton this week, of course, in a friendly. So that'll be a good little financial boost. That might be enough to get Keane back.
That might be enough to get Keane back, and it'd be interesting. Will Aidan Keane rather go back to Sligo, where he's well known, performed very well before, or would he rather go into this bit of a hype that Bulls are in at the moment?
Interesting. Finally, on the Premier Division focus, Galway United 1, Waterford FC 0. Galway, just reminding Waterford, you know, we did finish ahead of you last season because we've been talking about Waterford having such a great season and that they've outperformed even Galway are having a great season themselves. But this would be a nice little win for Galway, just to remind Waterford who was top dog last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Bit of a scrappy goal from, I think it was Hickey, who I don't think he has played that much this season for, I don't think he started that many games. Because he was playing plenty of minutes for at loan last year. He's the mainstay in that side, and he had a very good year. But
he hasn't started many games at all.
No, he hasn't. But
five starts.
Okay, thank you. I was like, oh yeah, he went there. It's just mad he's not getting a game. But like, it was probably incredibly hard to break into that side because they were doing so bloody well. So I don't think he could have had too many complaints. He would have been wanting to really pulling up trees and training to get to move out any of the players ahead of him. But look, he's got his chance. Great to get the winning goal in this one as well. So can't really say much more on that. But strong season for Galway at the moment. What if you're doing an exit or two going out of Galway at the moment?
Yeah, I have heard.
couple of movements going on from coast to coast.
I think so, yeah. That'll probably be known by the time this pod comes out. Right, we'll move to the First Division and Midlands Derby.
The real football is.
I might let you start on this. At Lone 4, Longford Town 1.
Well, I did watch this from outside the EU in London. Not the worst. Like, it wasn't a bad performance. And even actually the commentators did say that a number of times, like, how are these boys at the bottom? But a couple of unfortunate goals, a couple of just a bit of sloppiness, a bit of looseness, really cost Longford Town. And at Lone, the way they're going at the minute, they're being incredibly clinical. Mm. One concern is, I think Van Geenen got two, didn't he? Centre back. So
that's... he always plays well against Longford.
Oh yeah, he turns it on. Well, he knew about El Clasico for a long time, long before he came to Ireland. So he had this game marked on his card, and I think last year, did he put in two assists from his own half?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, something that really, I think me and you had nightmares about. I think we did commentary on both of those games together, and it was just like, please just stop this from happening. Just poor play from Longford Town again. But I think it's never comfortable losing El Clasico. But I think on some way is there like shades of Longford the way at Lone were when Longford Town went 20 games unbeaten in this
future? Yeah.
Is there a bit of a similarity here?
The balance of power has shifted. There's no doubt about it. At Lone, even you look at the players they're bringing in, the players Longford are bringing in. If it was a choice now between signing for the two clubs, a player's going to at Lone and that's it.
Well, there's no question about that. But also, I think at Lone will be making or announcing a signing from Galway in the next few days as well. So they're still... while they're going extremely well in the division, I think they're like looking for, right, how do we keep improving the side? As good as they are at the moment, they're still going, right, we need to improve the team, improve the squad. They added Kyle Robinson.
Yeah, great signing.
I think they'll be adding a couple more this week as well. So these are real... it's kind of nearly almost like what Galway were doing last year. Remember, they were buzzing away.
Yeah.
Pissing on top of everybody last year, but still adding to the squad throughout the season. And I think maybe there might be a bit of a similarity here for Athlone.
Yeah, okay. We'll move on. Kerry 3, Bray 3, bit of a typical Kerry Bray fixture. They're always a bit mad. I think it was the Kerry Bray earlier in the season at Mount Hawk that wasn't the weather. The game got suspended for
about half an hour, yeah.
And six goals in this one. It was raining goals this time around.
Yeah, I think it was 2-2 at half time. Kerry went into a 2-0 lead, and some really nice goals from Bray to get them back. Kind of a bit iffy on that penalty shout that Kelleher stuck away, but probably give the ref the benefit there. Kind of got a leg tangling issue, so I think it probably was a fair decision by the ref. But look, a humdinger of a game, and you know what? I know you don't have my co-host is obviously incredibly disorganized and doesn't have the results from last week's predictions, but I think I said 3-2 last week to Kerry. And I was fuming when I saw got the equalizer.
Don't be looking for any bonus points or anything. You're getting nothing off me, but great game
and some really good goals. And look, Bray did well to, you know, particularly after like that result against Longford hurt them. So you know, to go 2-0 down and then go 3-2 down and still to come back shows a good bit of character there. No word on head coach, leader, manager, football man in Bray, no?
No, nothing there yet. So
interesting.
Yeah. Cork 1, Cork City 1, Finn Harps 0. Typical Cork City performance this season, really.
Yeah, what a goal from Carlos Sullivan again. Just another worldly. I think if it's
we spoke. Yeah, it was very like Lamine Yamal's goal, wasn't it, actually?
Well, I wasn't going to put it quite in that bracket, but I think I was going to say when a left footed player scores a goal like that, he has a wand of a left foot.
Yeah,
is what you have to say. But
I was just going
to
say we were talking recently enough about kind of. Remember we were talking about players stepping up from the first division to the Premier, that there was no one really standing out for us this season in the first division.
Yeah.
But as a young player, he's probably one that's on a lot of radars.
I think so. And I think clubs in the Premier Division would be...
And beyond, I'd say. I'd say beyond Ireland, possibly. Looking at him.
Yeah. You know, definitely taking a look at this player. Like, I know these are like some really good goals. Now, I will say, to be miserable about it, he was given a lot of time to pick out his spot in both of those. And you'd be particularly disappointed with the Harps goal simply because he did it the week before against Wexford and they just watched him do it again. But Cork did like create some good chances and stuff like that. They just weren't able to, they just relied on that wonderful strike by O'Sullivan to get it over the line. But there's just a bit of like inevitability about them at this point.
A much needed result for Wexford, 3-0 winners against Cove Ramblers.
Yeah, serious result. Is this the start of the second half of the season revival? Do you think?
Could
like
be.
It was a very comprehensive performance. Not sure about the penalty. I thought it was very hard to see from the camera angle. But look, they got the penalty, but made it 2-0 and kind of set them sailing off. And then I think what's his name? Finished it off. Rowe. Got the third. So comfortable enough performance for Wexford and a much needed result.
Definitely. And UCD won, Treaty won. UCD just seem to go through these little spells in the season where the home games that you expect them to win. They have a run of games like Athlone at home there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Treaty this week, and they come away with just 1 point from the two games. They've seemed to have a few little spells like that this season.
Yeah, where they kind of forget what they're supposed to be doing. Did you see the Treaty goal for this?
No.
Good man, good research. I don't know what the keeper was doing. Is it Moore in goals for UCD? Came out into, he had no business going in there. Came right out to the edge of the box. And it would have been very hard for a Treaty man to score, but because the keeper came out into a place he had no business coming to. Now, he was sitting in the box, but like he came out and he wasn't sure who was going to get the ball. The UCD man kind of probably got a bit frightened seeing his keeper come out like that, and then the Treaty player just stole in and just rolled it into the net. So that sets him up, but I think UCD got an equaliser from a corner. Forgive me. But yeah, so look, decent result for Treaty, going all the way to UCD. Definitely gives them a bit of a boost.
Can I ask you one question on the First Division before we move on?
Oh, please do.
Because that was obviously, as you said, a decent result for Treaty. They're not having a fantastic season, but they're clinging in there. Wexford back to winning ways. Bray showing a bit of resilience. You just look at that Longford result. It was the biggest beating of any team this weekend across the two divisions. Are Longford going to finish bottom this season?
Well, I'm obviously going to say no.
I don't know what you'd be basing that on.
Yeah, heart and soul. That's what I'm basing it on. Brain does not come into it. Like it's very hard to see. Like Longford Town have put in some decent performances, as we saw in a few games. They went did a couple of good results at home, and then, you know, had a really good result against Bray, even though it was a poor performance, but Bray were equally as bad. And then, you know, there's a bit of positivity. A couple of players came in, got a couple of players back from injury, and then are doing okay in the game, but concede goals very quickly. And it's very hard to say, like, you can't just say, oh, that's a blip, because Longford Town have been very poor all season long. Yeah, I look, you're never going to get me to say yes to that, so why are you asking me?
Fair enough. Right, let's move into the FAI Cup. I'll just run through all the fixtures in full. We're not going to include every fixture in our Predictions League segment, but let's give everyone the respect they deserve. They've made it to the second round of the FAI Cup, so they're going to get a mention on Between the Stripes. So the fixtures on Friday are Galway United against Longford Town, Wilton United against Carrigaline, Treaty United against Kilbarrack, Bowes against Rovers in the Dublin Derby, Waterford against Cock Hill, Cove Ramblers against Kerry, Athlone Town against Ringmahon Rangers, the Louth Derby, hopefully that will go off smoothly. They're all on Friday. Then on Saturday, Pike Rovers against Middleton, Cork City against Finn Harps, Ballyfermot United against Leeds is Sunday. Also Sunday, Goree Rangers against UCD, Wayside Celtic against Wexford, Bray against Shells, Sligo Rovers against Cove, Wanderers now managed by Stephen Henderson, and Derry City against St. Pat's, which aside from the two Derby games is probably the standout tie of the round. So we'll go into the predictions league. We're joined by Stephen this week, a Shells fan who is going to play with us. As Gary alluded to earlier on, I've lost my homework. I've lost the points from last week. So I'm off tomorrow. So I'm going to take a listen back to next week's show. I'll jot down what we went for and I will get the scoreboard updated for next week because we were in a very tight title race, as we know. But Stephen, the Shells fan, playing on behalf of the listeners who last week were still top. And we'll start with the game that Longford are involved in, Galway United against the Town.
Massive cup upset on the cards here, Berko.
If you say so, guys.
Why not?
Is that a question? Why not?
No, I'm not looking for an answer on that one. Don't worry about that.
You don't want my answer.
Look, I think it's going to be a very difficult night at the office for Longford, yeah.
Where you're from, the team.
Where I'm from, the team I love. Excuse me, brain fart. Do you know what? They'll do it on penalties.
Give me the score after 90 minutes.
0-0.
0-0 after 90 and straight to pens.
No, 2-2 after extra time.
Jeez.
No, that's really wishful shite that I'm really going into.
We're just going 0-0 all the way through.
0-0 all the way through, okay. And then out the gap, Longford Town steal it away.
Well, of course, they've knocked Sligo Rovers out in years gone by in the first or second round, so maybe they have a little thing over the Connacht clubs, but I can't see it. I think.
Well, they were robbed last year against Pats.
Yeah, that was at home, though.
That was at home. Yeah, two men sent off.
I think Galway, it'll be interesting to see how they approach this game in terms of players they select and all the rest, but I think Galway win this as easily as they want to win it. I think that's the answer to it. I'm going to go 4-0 to Galway. There's a huge gulf between the two clubs.
How much?
4-0. And I think I'd nearly be glad if that's all it is.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, fellow Longford Town fan.
Stephen going for 2-0 win to Galway there. Bowes against Rovers. Obviously, tonight's game throws a different complexion on things. Rovers are already thinking about trips to Prague now, and it was a very grueling, trip to Iceland, and then tonight it goes to 97 minutes. So Bowes are probably just disappointed it didn't go to extra time and penalties tonight. But how seriously will Rovers be taking this? I know it's a Dublin derby and they have to take it seriously, but is it as important now as it might have been had they not gone through tonight?
I think the cup is always important to Shamrock Rovers. They haven't been faring very well in this competition in the last few years. On the other hand, like when you look at from a Bohemians' perspective, this is all they have. And, to knock Rovers out, it's not as good as winning the final, but Jesus, it's probably the greatest bit. It'll be the greatest bit of success they have this year, because I don't see them doing that and in the cup much further than this. Even with, because there will be a couple of scalps or a couple of big teams been taken out of this. But did you say Derry and Pats on Sunday night? So there will be a few major exits, and I think the question was asked a few weeks ago that will there be an opportunity for a team outside of the top four to win the cup this year? So that will be an opportunity for someone. But I just think it's going to be a real slog of a game. Probably a lot of drama, maybe. Maybe a few send-ins offs, a few hard challenges. I think Paddy Kirk will get sent off. I called him. I know. I keep going back to this, but I said, so, "What did I say that game last year? Against, was against Derry, Ryan Grade, or yeah, oh, Paddy yeah. Kirk yellow card against Grade within 3 minutes, and within 2 minutes he had it done. Probably one of my best ever predictions that I've ever done. But yeah, I think there's going to be a real feisty affair. There'll be obviously a couple of new boys in. For Bose that might have an opportunity to get some game time here and become a fan favourite for the probably few months that they're going to be here. I'm going to go 1-1 after 90 minutes. And I think Bose will do it in extra time.
Okay, well, I'm the opposite. I'm going to go 0-0 after 90 minutes, 1-0 Rovers extra time. And Stephen is keeping it nice and simple, thankfully. He's going 2-1 to Bohemians in this one. Interesting. Right, we've got a Munster derby. We're sure we've got any amount of them every week. Cove against Kerry.
Yeah, first division clash. Surely an opportunity for Kerry to do something, is there? In the cup.
I think Cove have been going along well up until that performance against Wexford. Kerry have already had a little cup run this season, getting to the Munster Senior Cup final where they're beaten by the Waterford reserves. But
they'll get a lot of experience out of that cup run.
I think Cove at home here. I'd fancy Cove. 2-1.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 to Kerry.
Interesting. Stephen going 1-0 to Cove there. The Louth Derby, as I said, hopefully it passes off peacefully. Stephen going for a 2-1 win. I was coming home there and I was listening to the radio. Sports News came on and they read out the statement from Drogheda and just the line about, oh, there will be increased operations on the night. And I was just like, anyone listening to this that's not a League of Ireland fan, like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking right now? Like, going on about, you know, increased match day operation, security or whatever way the reporter phrased it, but I was just thinking, Jesus Christ, this is a dreadful look for the league.
Oh, it is desperate. It is absolutely desperate. I think that's
especially on a night where you're looking at the women's team playing down in Parky Quay, great family atmosphere, 15,000 or whatever, 18,000, whatever turned out, and then you're hearing stuff like this on the radio coming home. It's just that's not good.
Yeah. We're going to get some of the boys that are out of Coolock up to Drogheda. Like, it is a desperate look, and I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk, maybe, you know, teams or fan bases going on about over policing football matches and stuff like that. It's like, well, this is part of the reason why. Mm. You look at big clashes, big games that are going on, you know, teams at each other or whatever, and you see, you know, real brays and stuff like this, and it was all TV cameras at it. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like phone cameras and reports of, you know, shite going on out in the street before the game or after the game. This was right on the pitch. Like, it is a desperate look for the league.
Yeah. What about this game? Can Drogheda turn the tables around at home?
I'm afraid not, no. I think Dundalk will do it in extra time.
Extra time.
1-0 Dundalk in extra time.
1-0 Dundalk in extra time, okay. Right, Stephen going for 2-1 with the Dundalk. As I said, Dundalk will be favourites to win after Friday. They were very dominant in the game. Drogheda are conceding goals, and Kevin Doherty made reference to it himself after the game, just the ridiculous goals they're conceding. And one thing we didn't get to actually, a couple of the goals, thought the keeper was really poor for them. Young Wogan, who's obviously got his move to England and he's back on loan now at Drogheda, and it's just an interesting time he got the move. I don't know if I spoke about this last week, but like, he has really struggled for confidence this season. He got an injury and he was out with the team for a while, and ever since he's come back in, he looks a shadow of the player he was last season when I was talking about him as already been one of the best keepers in the league. So I know they brought Luke Dennison in. I wonder, would this be a good opportunity for Dennison to try and make his bid for the number one jersey? But what I did notice on Friday in Oriel, the centre-backs, they're really lacking in pace. You can turn them very, very easily. There appears to be a real lack of pace in that draw to the defence. But obviously on a tight, compact pitch here, they might be able just to make things a bit more difficult for Dundalk. I think this is going to be a bit like that Rovers Bowes game, as you said. It's going to be feisty and fiery. It might be the most open and attractive game of football. I think it'll be a proper derby, though, particularly with all the tension surrounding this game. I'm going to go for another 0-0 here, and I will go for Dundalk to win in extra time.
What score?
1-0.
Right, so you're just copying me.
Yeah. Well, go on. You went Dundalk 1-0 extra time as well. Okay. I'm going 0-0 after the 90 though. We have a repeat.
Yeah, well, obviously I am. Dundalk win 1-0. I'm a
It's late. We have a repeat of a first division fixture. Cork against Harps.
Back down in Turner's Cross.
Yeah, God love Harps.
Oh, God bless them is right. Well, they don't do all the same crying that other clubs do be at. They just know what it's about and know what they're getting into. I can't see anything else other than a Cork win. Be concerned about, like, you know, they're not... They did have chances that they didn't take against Harps. I think they'll probably be more comfortable. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork City.
Okay, Stephen going 2-0. I'll stick with the same scoreline from last week. I'll go 1-0. Got Breg and Shells. Shells will be coming back from the heat of Gibraltar. They still have too much for Bray.
Shells will?
Yeah, if Shells reserves will be in action here, you'd imagine they'll still have too much for Bray. We talked about Shells last week. The squad they've actually built now is very, very good. It's able to fight on multiple fronts still. They'll have way too much for Bray.
I think so as well. It'll be a huge... It'll be a serious, serious, serious... It'll be a monumental cup upset if Bray were to even bring this to extra time or injury or out of time, whatever, extra time. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Shells.
Okay, I was going to go 2-1, but I'm going to keep Shells with the clean sheet. I go 2-0. Stephen, a Shells fan, going 2-1 as well. And finally, Derry against Pats. They met in the opening rounds last year and Pats came out on penalties, as we know, going on to win the FAI Cup. Could this be the start of a run for one of these teams?
Could that be? Absolutely. Kenny obviously has a lot of history with the FAI Cup.
And Derry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I was previously critical of Derry's home results, but I was probably...
It's hard to preview this because Pats are thinking about next Thursday. Derry will be thinking about what went before on Thursday. It's difficult to preview a game when there's so much uncertainty in regards to what's going to happen this week. But Pats aren't flowing in the league. Derry are second in the league. They're not playing as well as we'd like, but they're still in the mix for the title.
Go on, shout.
This will be another old flat. I think this will be flat. I think this will be another 0-0.
Pats. And?
I'll go all the way to Pens this time because I haven't put a Pens in there. Pats on penalties. 0-0 all the way through. Pats on penalties.
All right, I'll follow you this time.
Okay. Stephen go 1-0 to St. Pats.
Okay, yep. Fair enough.
No one fancying Derry there, right? Okay. Before we go to the hotline, Gary, we didn't talk about it already, but Mr. Hal Grimson, the new Ireland manager, give me your thoughts.
Quite satisfied with that, I think. Not that I know anything about him. I know what he did with Iceland.
Just great to get it over, isn't it?
It's just great to get it over. It's like, I don't know, like it's like you're just bursting for a shite, and you finally, you know, it's done. I think the idea that, like, we'll say it's over now, so the FAI can just, like, move on from this as if it never occurred. That idea is bullshit. And it's not over. Even though it is over for in the minds of a lot of Ireland fans and football fans in this country, it's not over in the slightest. And I think that the idea that they wanted Heimer.
Hal Grimson.
Hal Grimson. Since day dot, I don't buy that.
No. No one does.
No one does. You know what I mean? And like, the idea that there is no coaching staff group around him in place.
Yeah.
And now there's this shite talk of, oh yes, I think John O'Shea would be a good replacement for me when the time comes, and we get him in now and the players love him and all this yarn that we've been hearing about for the last while. It's just no one's buying that. No one's having any of this, and it's a real, the idea that the FAI believe they can sell this nonsense and people to take it shows that like they're even more deluded than what was previously thought of by the fan base.
Just on us here, would you like to see him involved?
No, I wouldn't.
No, either would I.
No, get him out of there. This man has probably set foot in Ireland, maybe travelling somewhere else.
Well, he was here for a European game when his team was knocked out by Pats 2011, I think it was.
Okay, so he's been here, what, 3 days in his life before he arrived there last week. Like, I just don't have any faith in the FEI. And, like, this idea that suddenly he's John O'Shea's biggest fan. What's that based on? I'm sure that this man, he was banned in Jamaica and got them to the Gold Cup and Copa America, whatever it was. He'd done a good job with them as far as I was read, the bit that I did read and the bit I was told. I just don't have, I've literally not one gram of faith that the FEI had this in the pipeline for 6 or 8 months or whatever nonsense.
We can put that to one side. We know that's not the case, but just on O'Shea, I think, you know.
So I was going back to that.
We talked about O'Shea in the games he was in charge. There was very little difference in the approach from Kenny's Ireland to O'Shea's Ireland, and we're hearing the same yarn from the players that we heard about Kenny, about how great everything is and blah blah blah. Let's wipe the slate clean, get everyone out that was involved in the last setup, get rid of that stink out of the place, let this man bring in whoever he wants.
Yes,
and let's go at it
hard.
Yeah,
we're in a completely fresh, as you said, clean out all the dirt. I'm not saying that they're dirt, but I just mean like this man needs to come in with a total backing of the FEI with whatever he wants to do.
You have to wonder if it's a financial thing. Do the FEI not want him gathering up a big 25-man coaching team or whatever and bring and looking? But again, as you said, that feeds into the whole thing. Like these are conversations that would be had with a man that you're going to hire as your national team manager.
Yeah, the back whole in thing is just rushed March, through. April, May. Yeah. What was going on through all them months? They're going on as if like they just met this fella last week, liked his presentation and interview. I'll get him in.
Probably did.
Yeah, that's what we think has happened, and that's what is proven to be the case now from what we're looking at. I think the idea that, particularly with the no backroom team, and waxing lyrical about John O'Shea all of a sudden, that just goes to show that he's been just thrown in here. And more than welcome, in my opinion. I'm quite happy about this. He was able to get good, strong performances out of limited teams that we've seen. Now, I know that, you know, when you look back, we'll say that Iceland team in 2016 in particular, they also got to the World Cup in 2018. But when you look at those two things, not knowing that about Jamaican football, to be quite honest with you, but with the Icelandic thing, that has been the result of a lifetime of investment, generation of investment.
Yeah.
To have the same expectation on this man to bring out a similar, never mind the same, result out of the Irish setup, I think is putting a massive amount of pressure on him that should not be there.
Well, we've gone back to type, really, haven't we? I spoke about it, I think, early on in the Kenny reign that, you know, maybe it wasn't going to work out with Stephen, but we couldn't afford to go back to hiring, you know, overseas managers and, you know, looking at the short-term goal of getting to major competitions and all the rest while we ignored everything else going on around us. And this manager's made comments that he's going to go back to the basics, and I think that's probably something you'll be glad to hear. But again, we're totally ignoring the fact that Irish football is totally under-invested in, as you said there, and we're expecting this man to work miracles. We've gone back to, let's get a name in. Well, he's not exactly a name, but get a manager in, someone with a bit of an exotic CV or whatever, and let's just hope for the best.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I don't think that's going to be the case. As you highlighted, I would be a huge fan of going back to a bit more basic football. I don't want Ireland to be in the top 50 teams in the world with number of passes per game. Any of that rubbish, I want to go back. As I said to you before, I want an old fella, pure white hair, that has only managed international teams in the last 20 years. And that's actually fairly close to what I was looking for. So, pretty relatively happy with that. The idea around the other stuff with the FEI is obviously won't be answered. And the FEI, this debacle, we just melt away into something else. Be interesting to see. Of all the hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of articles that were written about this manager and this manager, was he mentioned once by any of our friends in the
sports
journalism? Yeah, shocker. Shocker.
We'll move to the hotline. Dwayne Doyle, Derry filling the togs once again. Let's hope they can fill them again in Talca in a few weeks. On a serious note, how much is the heat a factor when League of Ireland teams play in such conditions? Let's hope it's not a factor for Shells on Thursday. I'll take getting burnt for a win. Well, look, I spoke about the issues Dundalk had out there last year, but players and fans, Derry knew what they were walking into. It's a factor, yes. It's something that needs to be taken into consideration. As I said with Louis Anzi on the show last week, there was a fear of Derry going out there, let's say, doing a Dundalk last year, a bit of a boring 0-0, and people would say, oh, geez, that's embarrassing, drawing 0-0 away to a Gibraltar team. But you have to focus on the 180 minutes and get through the tie. Now, Derry still might do that, as we said at the start of the pod, but they've given themselves a little bit of a mini mountain to climb, whereas they should have gone out there, made sure they did not concede. You can concede once, you can't concede twice over there. So it's a factor. It doesn't excuse Derry's brutal performance. That Gibraltar team are out of season. So that was an excuse they could have easily used. They went out and they got the result. And I was looking at some of the other results in Europe the other night. Connors Key from Wales, they went out to Slovenia in 32 degrees of heat as well. And they came away with a win. Mm-hmm. So no excuse for Derry City. It's a factor, but it's not an excuse. We'll move to Sam with the news of Hal Grimson wanting a League of Ireland-based squad for an international. What would be a rough draft of the squad, in your opinion?
Oh, geez, I wish you'd give me that question beforehand.
Sorry, I should have. I did a little bit of scribbling earlier on, so obviously you're not going to be...
Sure, you text me all day, and then you don't tell me this. go on.
You're not going to be looking at lads like Pádraig Amond, Patrick Hooban, even the likes now of Michael Duffy, McElhenney, lads like that. We need to be looking at the young players in the league for these type of squads. So I think the goalkeepers probably picked themselves, McGinty and Maher, two lads that have been in the underage setup. You'd be looking at them to come in. Defenders, I found it a bit tougher to... Defending hasn't exactly been at its peak in the league this season. But two names that did come to my mind. I know he's had an off-season compared to years gone by, but I think Joe Redmond would still be one you'd have him in a squad like that. And Cian Burnett-Bowes...
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think of a profile of kind of younger players that could improve into something. I'm not saying that these lads are ready to be internationals right now or anything like that, but I think obviously Ferrugia would be in everyone's squad. Josh Honan's done very; he's probably been Rovers' best signing, so I think you'd have him in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a few midfielders is probably something we're okay for. McManus and Clark, two young players, of Bowes that you'd like to see in something like this. Boy, I talked about earlier on, Hakiki, I think he's going to really blossom into a great player at Dundalk. And then Mason Mealy and Johnny Kenny are kind of obvious striking options.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners probably have some names they could give us, but this would have been great, you know, 2016 when we had the likes of Massey and Gannon and all them boys at their peak, and McElhenney and Duffy and whoever else, and Hooban. It would have been something I'm sure they would have loved to have been involved in. But I do think this is a good idea. But at this moment in time, do I believe there's any single player in the league that's ready to step into the international team right now? The answer would be no.
And not within an ass's roar of it.
No.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to come to, being the bag of misery that I am. It's not... This is a waste of time, in my opinion. What good is this going to do for anybody?
And this would cost money as well, just to buy out.
Why would it? Extra money?
A squad has to be assembled and, you know, imagine they play the games wherever, but it's a cost. You're going to have to get gear and you're going to have to, you know, there would be a financial input into running this.
Fine. I wouldn't even in that brain space at the moment. Even thinking like that, I just don't think the league has so far to go to be actually producing players that can go into the into any international side. I'm not sure this is any help to us right now.
That's fair. Jack says Dundalk to hit Drogheda by 6. Call me mental, but it's happening. Well, the way Drogheda are defending at the moment, there's nothing probably overly mental about that prediction. Yeah. Pat Mitchell, aside from Cork, which of the other 9 current First Division clubs do you think will get promoted next into the Premier Division, whenever that might be?
I think we're probably more likely to get the team that comes down this year promoted next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though I don't think there's a reliable enough team. Maybe UCD the year after, when they, you know, gather up a squad and have them for a couple of years, you know, through their normal cycle of getting promoted and relegated. I think whoever comes down will probably be in the best space to go straight back up.
Yeah, that'll be my answer to that as well. Paddy, where does Derry's defeat rank in the worst ever by a League of Ireland side in Europe? Worse than the TNS Bowes result? Question mark.
No. It's not. It's bad, but it's not. You know, it's not that bad. I don't think that's not controversial.
It's up there. It's in the same.
It is. It's up there. It's up there. But it's not fatal yet. Come back to us.
No. Yeah, that's true. Peeps Nation, if Derry go and win 3-0 on Thursday, how do we react? Do we all act like all is forgiven? Just accept they righted the wrong. Not sure what way to think myself, but having that performance in them, does that define them?
I think you have to go. I think it'd be reasonable and fair to go, yeah, they made a hames of it out in Gibraltar. Add in the shy talk about the pitch and the heat, and you know, the bus didn't show up, and the water was warm, and you know, these lads live out here, and blah 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 blah, and all that nonsense. And then if forget about 3-0, if they put 5 past these boys, which they're perfectly entitled and capable of doing, then we can write it off. I think that's very reasonable to do.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic did lose in Gibraltar.
I don't care about Celtic.
I'm just saying. It does happen.
When did that happen? Just out of curiosity.
I'm going to guess 2016.
I'm
just throwing that figure out there. It might have been more recent than that, but I'm guessing it's in that ballpark.
Did they win the SPL last year? Did they?
They did.
All right, okay. See, I just couldn't give a shite.
Dublin Oddity. I can't be the only one who thinks it's crazy having a team called Leeds playing Ballyfermot. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, maybe as the cup progresses, we might try and dig into some of these teams if they're still in the competition. But they're not the only ones. You've got Everton in down in Cork. I think they're a base too, isn't there? And
yeah,
yeah.
Are we going to ask the question about non-league teams, or do that for next week?
Can they mix it?
No.
To be honest, I'm glad the town didn't get a non-league team this year.
Okay.
Let's be honest, we're the team everyone would have wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we can mix it. Yeah, yeah.
No Mr. Matter. Thomas, Bowes 2, Rovers 0, come on the Bowes. We'll see. We will see indeed. But yeah, that's pretty much the end of the pod, guys.
Yep. I assume you'll be going to the Loud Derby this week, will you?
No, I'm actually working late Friday, so I'll watch the town on the stream.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I might try and get to a game in Dublin. Won't be able to make it across to Galway in time, so I might see if we can get to a game in Dublin.
Only day off this week is Sunday, so I don't know will herself allow me to slip off to... Oh, it's in Derry, that game, isn't it? I'm not going to Derry for the...
Would you stop? Go to Derry, you're crazy.
Yeah, no, I'll sit down for the day, LOI TV, a few games on, hopefully.
Yeah, fair play.
There's a few people talking about lack of TV coverage tonight for the Rovers game and for the cup this weekend.
I don't know what this is. We're getting that type of talk is getting into hurling fan level of shite now. It'd take years to get to that level of insanity. No, and that is pure insanity, the way hurling fans go on. I like a good game of hurling, but not every game of hurling is the greatest game of hurling that ever was. You know, there's the greatest game of hurling was on at 2 o'clock, and now the next greatest game of hurling is on at 5 o'clock. Jesus Christ, and bullshit. But we're after a month solid of the Euros on RTE2, 2, 5, and 8 for the first 2 weeks, and then 5 and 8, and then all of that.
Mm.
The women's game was on the telly there this evening.
you know, there has to be a bit of balance given by broadcasters here. Maybe, you know, you could argue that the could Virgin Media have taken on the
Rovers game
this evening, but there was a bit of competition going on with the women's game as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's fair.
It's a lot of football on the telly for the past month. It's not going to be that. We can give it up for a few weeks, particularly the first round. Maybe you could have thrown Rovers on Friday. The one I might have actually recommended would have been Derry and Pat Sunday evening. They'll probably have James Bond on.
The Harlan's on Sunday evening. It is actually on the telly, the hurling this weekend, the All-Ireland final.
Well, it's All-Ireland final. Fair enough then. So that's a big sporting event. Live it off then.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be on every week, and we're after a month solid of football, and a lot of it was pure shite as well.
Yeah, so, I actually enjoyed the last few nights there. No football. Sit down and watch a bit of Desperate Housewives.
Is that what you're at now, is it?
Yeah, I needed a break from the football, so I agree with you. Right. I think it's not a hanging offence.
No, it's not. And I'd be actually in full support of the idea this week. Give it a break. I'm sure there'll be some other games and some other stuff coming on in the next few weeks. We'll park that outrage for this week.
Yeah, we have enough outrage in our lives. Look, we'll leave it there. It's late as we record. So thanks to everyone who's listened to the duration of the pod. Thanks to Rory Higgins and Brian Maher for chatting to me earlier on. Thanks to Barry Murphy as well for dialing in from Talla. A good night for the League of Ireland. Let's hope the rest of the week will be just as good as well. And as we said, hopefully all those cup games pass off without incident this weekend. We don't need any more repeat of what happened last Friday. But for this week, thanks to everyone who tuned in, from myself, Kieran, and from Gary, and from our sponsors, Quinn AV. Huge thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.